Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm Andrew Renovs. I'm working closely with Jeff Strzok, and I'm glad he's done all the introduction that was necessary for this presentation. So I'm trying to cut to the chase right away if I can find. He's explained well enough this thing, so I don't have to add anything, pretty much. Now, my task in this hydrology thing is to get to grapple on the statistics side. Initially, this research was a paired watershed design, and paired watershed design underlines the comparison, direct comparison between the two watersheds. And of course, in the paired comparison, we don't have usually no replication. We have one field, another field, you compare them, whatever comes out, whatever you can measure, that's all we have. And we got some suggestion beyond the apparent watershed design. Why don't you look into time series to look individually at your field and see if from the time series you can draw something and learn more about the individual field and hopefully a better comparison of the system. So available data, we got daily flow volume, but in my case, because it's time series, I wanted to see more of the seasonality or even some cycle in the signal that we get out of the experiment. I have to remind you, I intermittently use data or signal because I've been working with some electrical engineer to learn the time series and all the techniques, so I tend to use signal rather than data. So no flow event recorded in 2011. In 2012, there was flow only at the free drainage, as Jeff already showed us. For the comparison of means, which is the classic way of comparing the data, the set of the signal you have the Wilcoxon sign rank because it's a paired data all the way. I wanted to stay with that spirit of a paired comparison. And the comparison assessment is mostly what the people would like to see after we run time series statistics, that what kind of model were you able to build out of the data that you've been working with. And just at the bottom there, I had to use this software to sharpen my skills with the time series. Time series, I was told, is a very messy way of handling things and can be very confusing. So I was told to try a couple of software. At least I love RState because it's free, first of all. But I don't want to stay with one software, so I use JMP, which is a visual SAS, if you will. ExcelStat is a product from France sold by the German. I said to myself, if the French are producing something and the German are willing to sell it, there might be something in it. monthly presentation, Jeff already went to some extent to this data, but I want to focus on 2011, 2012, because those were dry years and there was hardly any data in the set of result that we've got. And I'm just showing you here because I wanted to, rather than daily data and weekly data, to just to have some aggregation of data so I can easily get to some kind of, hopefully, some seasonality, even some cycling even the data themselves. So I'm just showing here what are the differences. So there's a flow volume and the cumulative, and these are monthly flow volumes. So I'm going to give you the statistics that related to that. And because it's weekly, the numbers are higher than what Jeff showed earlier. I see a difference of 30%, very significant. So we have some difference right there. There's nothing new about that. So I'm going to touch into the time series modeling. I put a little equation here, and I promise that's the only equation I'm going to show you because not everybody likes equation in the presentation. So the first method in handling time series modeling is called signal decomposition. So what you want to see in the time series that you may end up seeing this trend, seasonal and random component. And I show you the graph after that. So after you decompose the signal, this is where you apply your skills in building the model for the time series. And I'll show you that, walk you through that. The second method is to go right away into modeling first. And then after that, you can detrend the series and remove the cycle or the seasonality. So there's two ways in there for the same thing. But from experience, I prefer to use the signal decomposition first. It's like opening a box from FedEx. You got a scissor, cut through, and see what's in your box. That's the method here. And I found it also when it comes to sharing your findings, there are more intuitive graph to see where are those components. So these are the composition of the time series, and it's an additive model for now. The free drainage is on the left side. Control drainage is on the right side. And you see the similarities. So this is the real data up here on top. And then this is the trend component right here. And this is the seasonal component right here. And this is the random. So the system work that they take out of your signal, the trend first. And then it looks at the seasonality or the periodicity in your signal. And then what's left over, it just subtract from the main signal here. And then this is what you left for. And this is where you built your model, because the goal, as I said in the earlier slide, is that you want to get rid of the trend first, get your seasonality, and then see if you can fit a good model in your signal here. And the good thing with this system is, this approach, is that when you add these three components, it gives exactly your original data. So it's kind of, you know, there's some self-control in the system. Let's compare a little bit here. So usually, when you deal with time series, they ask you to do the main candle trend analysis. And mathematically, it's always accompanied by a word monotonic. Monotonic means that it's either increasing constantly or decreasing constantly. When I did the main candle, there was not much trend in this one, because you look at the trend, now it's, say, flat over here, goes down and goes up. So it's really the 2010 signal that is significant in the trend. Beyond 2010, there's not much, but we'll see the impact of that on the mean that I presented earlier. So we have the seasonal. I'm going to get into some details for the seasonal component. And, of course, the random. This is ultimately what you want to work with to build your model. And just one last thing. Look at the maximum here. So you have about 15,000, and right here about 10,000. So it's really the random component that makes up the biggest chunk of the analysis. So I took the seasonal component because it's repeating pattern through the 9 years anyway, and it's the same. So you look at the free drainage. So you have some peaks. What you usually look at are peaks. So you have weeks on the x-axis, and you have the flow volume. So the free drainage, for example, has several peaks along 1 year. This is just 2006 year. And you look at the control drainage, and it has a really big peak early on, like probably the end of April here. Another peak right around early July. And another one right before, this will be early November. Now, just by looking at the graph, then you have some seasonality right there. However, if you want to publish your paper, you better have a more formal way of looking at this seasonality. And what I did here, I took those seasonal, those repeating pattern, and I ran through what's called the Fourier transform. The Fourier transform can take any signal and convert them into a combination of sine and cosine waves. And you look at the coefficient that comes with those decomposition, and that's what this graph is all about. So you take the time domain, that's why they explain it, you take the time domain and bring in, extract the frequency, the important frequency in your signal, and that's what this Fourier transform is giving us. So you look at the free drainage, we have few peaks here, about three, at frequency less than 0.5, and you can just go back to the meaning, weekly meaning of this frequency when you need to. Look at the this spectral density, what you have here, that's energy in each frequency. And we have quite a few peaks within the control drainage. And I'm going to walk you through how that's transferred into the building the model when you have such frequency. And there's quite a difference here. We have seven frequencies that are really high, and you have only three frequencies in the free drainage. That was the seasonal component. I'm going to go to the ground down component and I give you the ultimate model. So in the random component, then that's the third and the big one in the dissecting the signal. So in the random component, when I run through finding the signal, I found this should be ARMA, you didn't say ARIMA. This is the kind of model you build with time series. So you have an autoregressive AR, integrate if you need that, but in case it, the parameter is zero. So autoregressive moving average. Sometimes you have to use a combination of those models to get your a correct model in your signal. So in this case, the free drainage, look at the difference between the two. First of all, I try to get to the very simple model as much as I can because that's a technique. If you have several versions of these models, you choose where your parameters are the lowest and give you the simplest. This is the criteria used for that, a KIK information criteria, where it is the lowest. You have a series of models and you have to look at which one has the lowest KIK information criteria. So in our case here, main thing also, I was trying to really stay with this part of the model, but the seasonal component came in strong. So in my building the model, I could not avoid taking into account the seasonality. So the model that came out of that signal has a strong seasonality here, and even more on the control drainage can relate to the many frequencies we saw in the decomposition of the signal. The mean is zero. When you have a mean of zero when dealing with a time series, you can wipe up your brow because, oof, there's some simplification in the approach because this technique can be very, very cumbersome. So this is the random component model, and what I found mostly is that you have to take into account the seasonality and build the model. One last thing. Now, I showed you that we have some mean from the free drainage, 567 cubic meter per week, weekly data, 385. The time series technique gives you some ways of checking these means. Are these means really, do they hold through the series, or there might be some change over time? And you remember, after 2010, there was almost nothing for the control drainage. There was nothing absolutely in the record. 2011, 2012, there was no flow. But for the free drainage, there was something in the 2012 record. And now, there's a homogeneity of time series. What this means is the mean that we like to show a true mean when you go through the whole series. And this test, if there's a shift on this mean that we like to show here. So when you run the homogeneity test of the time series, you find out, and it's really statistically significant, there are in fact two true means that are different from each other, apart, I mean, split by this date here. So in October 28th, that's the nice thing with this technique, on October 28th, 2010, right after the very, toward the end of the very wet year, we found that before this date, this is the mean you should present to people. And after that date, this is the mean that you present because they are significantly, statistically significantly different. For the control drainage, same thing, 385 cubic meter per week. And they have a date in September instead of October, a different means that you have to deal with. Otherwise, if you present the mean, there's something not right there because the time series shows you it's not an homogeneous data that you're working with. So those are kind of the characteristics that I was able to extract using the time series technique. You saw that on the year 2011, 2012, there was no record, but still we have those wave, you know, repeating patterns. So what does that mean? So I'm so glad that right now we're still working on adding more years, 2 years at least, on this data, so you can see, study more the signal. But overall then, in the model building and trying to study each site individually, there's some strong seasonal component in the signal. And also, the data themselves are not homogeneous. You have two means that you have to present to people because you're not just happy with the classic average. There are two averages that are significantly, statistically significant. I better stop there.